Blog Talk Radio.
Right now we want you to get your hands together and we're going to start your party. Let's welcome Solar Recording Artists. Solar Recording Artists.
Thank you.
All right, now that's Dynasty right there. I've just begun to love you. And so, guys, listen. I want to get right into this, okay? This is Wardell Potts Jr. First of all, and I want to just tell you guys how much we appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for being a part of Solar Records Radio. You know, since we started at the station, and we do appreciate you guys so much. And so, my abrupt interruption, because I want to get to this interview because it's going to go for a little bit, and I want to make sure that Don Fleming and I get to play some more of the legendary music that came from Solar Records. And so with that being said, I'm going to get into this interview with Carrie, a very nice young man out of Houston, Texas. And so we did this interview, and I thought, wow, you know, I enjoyed, you know, talking with him. So I'm going to let you hear him interview me in regards to my walk from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, to the city of angels, Los Angeles, and working with Dick Griffey and Leon Silvers, and, you know, just Solar, period, and Dynasty, and Lakeside, the Whispers, and, you know, getting to hang out with Lakeside, meeting those guys, and, you know, and just developing my family relationship with all of the Solar artists. And it's just been it was something that was supposed to be, as Tony Westcott would say, and so I'm just so grateful for the opportunity that God has given me to meet all these amazing people and work with them and be a part of the same legacy. So anyway, I want to get right into this interview because my friend Carrie, he did such a great job. I'm so proud of him. And much love out the Houston radio out there. That was great. I enjoyed it. Ironically enough, a couple days later, I was in Houston. So I guess I could have went into the station. But anyway, here we go, guys. Let's get going here on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. Much love to all of my brothers and sisters.
KTOH 1230 The Source. This is Kerry Lewis in the mix with the hits, and we got a very special guest with us on this afternoon's program. We got Dynasty member Solar Records drummer Mr. Wardell Potts with us. How are you doing today?
I am good, man. I'm you know, I'm excited because I hear you playing all our music, and you know, not just the stuff that Dynasty did, and but also the stuff that Dynasty did for other groups. And so thank you for doing that. Appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us here on KCOH 1230 right here in Houston, Texas. So before we get started in this interview, let the people know who you are and where you originally from.
Okay, so my name is Wardell Potts Jr. I'm the drummer for Dynasty and the house drummer for Solar Records. I am from the beautiful city, Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so there you go.
So you got Philly sound and then went to Los Angeles with the Solar sound.
Absolutely. You're pretty wise, young man. So yeah, so you take that, you know, I grew up on the Philly sound. And I have to tell you this, for sure, when I was in the studio recording And the Beat Goes On, in the back of my head, I was thinking about Ain't No Stopping Us Now. So I remember when I was playing And the Beat recording And the Beat Goes On for the Whispers, that I was thinking about McFadden and Whitehead, what I grew up on. You know, that was in my soul. It's a part of who I was. And so I wanted to make sure. And I didn't know, no, actually, it wasn't that I wanted to make sure. It was a natural thing that was happening. But I remembered, like, thinking about that, like, wow, why was I thinking about that? I thought about that years later. But it's just a natural thing. That's because, you know, we are a product of our environment, right?
Yes, sir.
And so that was my environment, you know, being around Philly International all my life. And and left at 19 and went to college, and then and left from college to California and ended up with Solar, and there you go.
So what was your introduction into music growing up in Philly? Was it the Philly sound?
Well, no, it's just that in Philadelphia, in the city of Philadelphia, on every block, there's musicians. I mean, it's so... and so with all that talent being there, I one day a guy moved on my block and he lived up the street, and I remember hearing him. He was a drummer, right? And so there was other he had a big band and they were rehearsing in his house, and so I would go sit there every day, sit on the steps and listen to them practice. Whenever they practiced, I would always make sure I was there. And then he noticed that I was there and he says, "Hey, young man, you want to come in and see this equipment?" And I go, yes, I would love to. So I went into his house and man, the drums, they just stood out so much and they grabbed my attention. And I just kept staring. And then he says, "You want to play those?" And I go, "Yes." And so I sat there. I had no idea what I was doing. And so and he says, "You just come back and I'll show you a couple of things." Great. So then when I went home, that day I went home, I went into the house around 6 or 7 o'clock that evening, and then on Ed Sullivan was the Jackson 5. And I heard them. I saw Michael Jackson as a little kid singing that stuff. I was like, they're my age. And I just, that was it. Right then and there, once I saw that, I was like, that's what I want to do right there. And so that was my introduction.
Wow, that's a great story. My introduction was the Jackson 5 as well. Of course, it was a different era. My introduction was that movie, the Jackson's movie. And so I was a young kid, and that kind of got me into the music bug. Cause I was like a young kid when that movie came out.
Right, okay. That's awesome.
So let us know, who is the band Dynasty? How did the band Dynasty get involved with Solar Records? Were they always the house band? Tell us a little backstory. Dynasty and Solar Records.
Okay, good question. Because really, Leon Silvers from the Silvers decided to start a group called Dynasty. Because he was not in the group with the Silvers anymore, they thought, you know, he needed to do his thing and they would do their thing. You know, he taught them and did everything for them, but, you know, he was trying to go someplace else. And they weren't feeling it. They wanted to keep doing what they were doing. And so he went ahead on and started his own group, which was Dynasty. Okay, so in the meantime, he got signed to Solar as the house producer by the owner, Dick Griffey. And so Leon's responsibility was to bring the music, you know, to the company. And the same thing with Smokey Robinson from Motown. And so once I auditioned for Dynasty from when I came out from Philly to audition, you know, I was sitting around for a while and I used to making money because I worked for my dad. He had 3 gas stations, auto store, hardware store, and a church. And he was a pastor. And, you know, so I always had money. And then when I went to California, it was just like, boom, there was no money. It's the total opposite of what I thought, right? And so, but, you know, we weren't working. I made the audition, and so I was wondering, like, what's going to happen next? And Leon was so busy with this, you know, working for, you know, Solar, Dick Griffey, and getting me all these songs and stuff together. And so I called him, and I said, "Leon, hey, check it out, man. I just wanted to know if I made the audition, first of all." And he said, of course you did. I said, "Oh, well, you never told me." He said, "Oh, I told you." I said, "I never heard you say." He said, "Yeah, of course you did." And I said, "Hey, cool." I said, "Check this out. I'm gonna go back to Philly, and whenever you guys get ready to start rehearsing, you know, I'll come back out and stuff." "Oh, no, I need you to stay and, you know, get you to stay here. And we're going to go in the studio with Shalimar and the Whispers." And I didn't really know Shalimar at that time, but they did have that one song out called "Take That to the Bank." And I didn't really know that was about all I knew about them. And so then I said, okay. And so then we went in the studio, and the first thing we recorded for Shalimar was the second time around. And then after we did second time around for Shalimar, we about 2 weeks later, we were in the studio and recorded And the Beat Goes On for the Whispers. And so then at that point, Mr. Griffey told Leon, whoever is that playing drums, I want him to play drums on all the stuff. So Dick, Leon told me that, and I almost passed out. I said, really? Okay, great. I'm excited. Let's do it. Because I was always nervous in the studio. I'd never recorded before, right? So it was my first time. And so anyway, so we did these two songs, and they took off, and they shot up to the top of the charts, gold and platinum, then double platinum, and they just kept on going. And so anyway, so then we started recording for everybody. You know, the next thing, we're doing Dynasty stuff. We're doing Carrie Lucas stuff. You know, you played one of my songs earlier, Show Me Where You're Coming From by Carrie Lucas. And we were just constantly recording for all the Solar artists that we needed to. Not for, like, Lakeside. They had their own band, and Midnight Star had their own band. But everybody else, they needed the music. And so, but this is a reality that a lot of people don't know. The reality is Shalimar and Dynasty is really one group with different singers. Because all the musicians and the songwriters and the producers for Shalimar is Dynasty. But the only difference is the singers. And the same thing, like with Dynasty, we wrote and played on all the stuff. So a lot of people had no idea until they start looking at the credits. They go, and they see our names and they go, wow, you guys are all over this. I said, yeah, well, we did. Because they weren't writers and stuff, so we wrote all their stuff. And but anyway, so I hope I'm answering your question. I don't want to keep on going because it's a long story.
Right, right. So you did mention the artists that you worked with in Solar Records, but you were also working with other artists outside of the solar system, of course. So
right,
you were working with, earlier I played a Janet Jackson song. You were on that, and you played with various other artists outside of Solar Records.
So what happened was is that when this thing took off, like I said, our records, everything we were doing was going gold and platinum. And it was just like Solar had made a sound, and it was like everybody was like, whoa, who is this company that just is coming out with all these hits? And so what happens is that, you know, when you find a certain sound that's taken off and you see that the world is really like it a lot, then the artists start coming to those writers and producers and musicians and try to get them to do some stuff on them. So, yes, the song you played from Janet Jackson, I wrote that song and I played drums on it. And that was on her first album. And then you put another song by Tavares, and we did that. Yeah, I wrote that song as well, and Deeper in Love, and I played drums on that as well. And then we did the, I'll just call it out. We did the Brothers Johnson and Gladys Knight and the Pips, and just so many other artists that we had the blessing to work for, because they were all coming. They wanted to be a part of this new sound that was out, Evelyn Champagne King, and on, just like so many artists. If you were just to Google, you could see, because it's too many names to remember. But it was a beautiful thing to be able to work with people like that. Glenn Jones, and the funny thing about Glenn Jones is that when he goes to the UK to perform, they tell him, the promoters tell him what songs they want him to play. And when I interviewed him, he said, Wardell, they always want me to play you guys' songs. They love the Solar style. And so that's just such a gift to us. We feel so blessed that people find something about what we did that it makes them feel good. And the other thing about what we did, most of our songs was happy stuff. It was love songs, you know, and just have a good time kind of songs. Nothing negative. All of our songs are really positive songs. And so I'm very proud of that legacy that was created by by Leon Silvers.
Right. Also, on the Solar side, some very prominent musicians and writers and producers, of course, L.A. and Babyface started with them, and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis didn't really start with them, but they kind of were under Leon for a while. Was that correct?
Yeah. So Midnight Star, Midnight Star was the one that brought the deal to Solar, and Babyface in L.A. was in the deal. And Dick Griffey had discovered that Babyface could write some good songs. And so that's, so Babyface, obviously did the stuff for the deal. Him in L.A. did the stuff for the deal. And then Dick Griffey heard this stuff that, he was doing, and before you know it, he was writing for, he wrote for Dynasty. They wrote a song for Dynasty. They did a song for The Whispers, Rocksteady for The Whispers, and I'm not sure if they did anything for Shalimar. And then as far as Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis is concerned, when they left the Time, they came to L.A. And hooked up with our company was called Silver Spoon Productions. That was a production company that we had, and that's where a lot of the artists would come to get us to produce them and write songs for them. And so L.A. and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis came there as well. And Leon said, you guys are awesome, and he started helping them to find work and stuff, and he got them a gig with the SOS band, and their career just took off from there.
Right. Also, let's get a little bit into you about the drums. Okay, what was your process going into the studio? Okay, I gotta lay down some drums on this track. What's your process? Everything had to be right. The cymbals had to be over here. You gotta have your hi-hat over here. You gotta have the snare tuned up. So how was your process going in? Laying down some drums.
Well, for the most part, my drums always—they were in Studio Masters in Beverly Hills on Beverly Boulevard, and it was owned by John Woods, and that's where we did all of our stuff in that studio. So my drums, because we were recording every day. So my drums stayed in that studio, so I didn't have to worry about, if things are in the right positions or whatever case. Only thing I had to do is, just make sure my drums were tuned, because, they just go out of tune naturally, right, after, playing on them and stuff. And then also the air conditioning and stuff, changing the temperature in the room would change the tuning of your drums, so, and the piano. And so, I would just have to make sure that part was cool. But my mindset, going into a song was always, I knew that my responsibility was to drive the train. I had to make sure that I locked that pocket and I made that groove feel as good as it could, so all the other musicians and the singers could enjoy this drive, this what they're sitting on. Because I always, for instance, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about, like a train. When someone's driving a train, you got people that are on the train, passengers need to get up and be able to go to the restroom or get something to eat, and you got people that work on that train that need to serve people and all that kind of stuff. You need to make that train as smooth as possible so people can do what they got to do. That's how I felt playing the drums. Like, I got to make this groove as smooth as possible. And if I want to add a couple of little things just because, I want to add some reflection, something just special into it, I would do that, and I would do it slightly so that it didn't affect the groove, because sometimes, drummers have the tendency to overplay and it gets in the way of stuff. But you had to, when you're playing R&B and pocket stuff, you got to first get that pocket and make it groove. And then you could add little inflections here and there, but don't you know, get out of line with it. Stay in your place. Stay in your lane. And because we are the supporting cast, the music is the supporting cast of the singers that sing along. So I always had that in mind. So that was always my mindset going in the studio, to just drive that groove.
One of the most sampled songs from you guys is Adventures in the Land of Music. So how did that song come about?
Well, so I just got off the phone with the guy that wrote that song, Ricky Fries.
Ricky Fries.
My brother, yeah. Ricky Fries, he's also the bass player for The Time,
yes.
Morris Day and The Time.
Definitely.
And they are in Cleveland right now. No, they're in Chicago right now. And so they're performing out there tonight. So I was just talking to him about a show that he's going to be doing in a couple of days. This song came about, this is that Ricky was playing this keyboard. He's a keyboard player in Dynasty, but he's a bass player for Morris Day. And he's a bass player for Dynasty now, because Leon Silvers is not playing with Dynasty right anymore, because of, you know, he'd rather be in the studio, and he's a studio rat. So when we did this last record, he didn't participate in it. But anyway, getting back to your question, so Ricky Fries, Kevin Spencer from Dynasty, and Richard Randolph from Dynasty. Richard just passed away yesterday, Richard passed away. So them three came up with that song. And it's just an amazing groove. Guys, this thing, the guys that did the horns and the strings for Earth, Wind & Fire, the same guys that did that, the horns and strings for that song. That's why it has that, I mean, it is, it's such a groove. And I don't blame those guys from sampling, because it's so much fun, you know, that song is. To be a mid-simple, it just feels good, right? It's like a nice wave. You ride that wave with that song. And that's how it came about. And we knew it was a Dynasty song, and Leon Silvers did what he had to do to make it work for us. And so we're grateful, because so many of our songs went to other people. Like all that stuff we did, like It's a Love Thing. That's the Dynasty that did that for the Whispers, right? Keep On Loving Me. That's Dynasty. Well, I wrote that song, but the Whispers got it, you know. It's And the Beat Goes On. That's a Dynasty song. That's a, you know, Leon Silvers and William Shelby. William Shelby passed away too, also last year. We lost two of our members last year. All these songs that you hear on so many other artists could have been on Dynasty, but Dynasty became the machine. We were the machine for Solar. We were the hit-making machine for Solar. And, you know, and I'm not saying that out of arrogance. I'm saying that because of what history has told us. You know, so if you look back and you see all these gold and platinum records from all these artists, and you look at the people that did it, that's us. That's Dynasty. So it's something we look at and we go, thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity. Thank you for giving us the gift to even be able to afford that opportunity. And so it's a blessing, man. It's a true blessing.
Definitely, definitely. Dynasty's biggest hit was I Just Began to Love You. And we're about to get into that track. Just take a little quick break while we play that song. And we'll be talking back with you more about Dynasty, about the new music, right after this.
Okay.
Right here on KCOH, 1230, The Source. Yeah. KCOH 1230 The Source. We are back with some Dynasty member, Solar Records drummer, Mr. Wardell Potts Jr.
Yeah. Man, I love that. I love that song with all my soul. And, you know, and the reason why I say that, because soul music is so pleasing to the soul. That's why they call it soul music. And I was really down a couple of days ago because my dog got really, really sick, and they thought they were going to have to put her down. And only thing that made me feel good while she was in the hospital was doing my show and playing that soul music. And it just I didn't realize what was happening, but I remember just smiling and starting to be happy. And it's because of the music and stuff. And so when you just play that song, that is one of those songs that makes me feel exactly like that. It's so soul pleasing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great name for that music, soul music.
Definitely. And it has a great feel to it, has a great upbeat rhythm to it, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, feel good mm-hmm. music.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Down to your soul, deep down to your soul.
That song was written by William Shelby and Freeze, Leon Silvers as well. And that was one of the songs that we would usually play at the end of the show because it was our biggest hit, like you said. And it was so much fun. You could see all of the audience participation involved in that. But I just want to share one last thing here about this song, and that is the guitar player doing the solo. His name was Ernest Pepper Reed, and he was just an amazing guitarist. And we lost him along the way a long time ago, back in the 90s, because of diabetes. And but we miss him desperately because he's probably the best guitar player I ever played with in my life. I mean, he is absolutely amazing. The stuff he played on the records were good, but the stuff he did before we recorded was unbelievably incredible. So, and he is from Ohio. So much love to Ohio for their amazing musicians
definitely.
Out there.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Condolences to the Dynasty members, the Solar members lost.
And thank you. Yeah, including Mr. Dick Griffey, the owner.
Yes.
He's gone as well, yeah.
And Solar was originally called Soul Train Records. Were you there when it was called Soul Train Records, or?
No, but I could tell you the story behind that. Basically, I didn't get to Solar until 1979. What happened was Dick Griffey was a record promoter, and Don Cornelius was always the owner of Soul Train. He was always, you know, doing what he did. He was a DJ, and then he ended up promoting shows and stuff. And then he got the opportunity to do this TV show, and he needed talent. Well, Dick Griffey, because he was a promoter, he promoted James Brown and the Whispers and just all kind of, you know, old school artists that we all know about. He was promoting them, and so they decided to come together. You know, Dick would bring him all those artists, and so he decided to come together and say, hey, let's just do a record company. And so they did the record company, Soul Train Records, but Don Cornelius was so into what he was doing that he could not focus on the record part, and so he wanted to just stay with Soul Train. Let me just do this. This is what I do the best. And so I want to focus on that. And Dick said, okay, that's cool. I'll just go down and do my own label. And so, and that's what he named it, Solar Records, Sound of Los Angeles Records. So, and that happened, I believe, in 78.
And when you mentioned Soul Train Records, I think their first artist was Shalimar, if I'm not mistaken, who were dancers on.
Something. You're right. You're right. You're right. Jeffrey Daniels. I love Jeffrey. He's such an amazing dancer. And Jerry Watley. Jeffrey was and Gerald Brown. Gerald Brown was the original, one of the original singers, with Jeffrey and Jody Watley. And Jeffrey Daniels, you know, did all the pop lock dancing and stuff. He also was the one that taught Michael Jackson how to do the moonwalk.
Definitely.
And, yeah, but it was called the backslide. And then once Michael, you know, once Michael got Jeffrey to show him how to do that, he changed it to the name of it to the moonwalk. And so, but, you know, Jeffrey is very, very talented and very good. Yeah, and they had a record out on Soul Train Records called Uptown. I believe that was the name of that. Yes. So, and that was just a combination of a lot of the Motown hits. They had that single out, combination of a lot of the Motown hits. So
Dynasty released over the years, was it six albums? And then you guys kind of went your separate ways, started, you kept writing and producing for various artists.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Everybody kind of, you know, so this is usually what happens at most companies. You get like about a five to seven year run, right, with producers, great producers, get about a 5 and 7 year run, and then everybody starts to go on and doing their own thing. And that's exactly what happened at Solar. We had about a 5-7 year run. We were like on the radio all the time, on the charts all the time. So I think Motown went longer than everybody, but that's what we had about that. And then after, you know, the Solar thing, when Dick Gregory decided he's going to go into doing other things, like distributing, he became a distribution company. I went to A&M Records with Dana Myers, a writer, a friend of mine, and William Zimmerman and Joseph Gallo. And Joseph Gallo and I became writing partners. And we were producing partners, and we were just, you know, doing the Jets. We produced the Jets and Atlantic Star, the Secret Lovers album we did, and just a few other things we did. And so we all stayed busy. Everybody went different ways. Like I told you, Freeze went to Morris Day and was working with him, I think, probably about 25 years now, long time. So, that's what happened. Everybody went their own way, but we stayed in touch.
Stayed in touch. Is that what sparked the Dynasty reunion?
Well, what sparked it is that, you know, I see a lot of my friends that I know, musicians, the artists that are out there, people that we, you know, put on the map with our music and stuff out there, you know, just having a great time. I go to a lot of the concerts and hang out with them and everything. And I'm saying, well, why can't Dynasty do that? Dynasty should be able to do that too. So I decided one day I went to L.A. because now I'm out here in Texas with you. But I decided to go to L.A. a couple of years ago, and I talked to Leon Silvers. I said, hey, man, so, you know, these groups out there doing their thing. I said, why don't Dynasty get back out there and do something? And he's like, well, yeah, that'd be cool. I just can't do that right now because I need to stay in the studio. I'm really caught up in this stuff. And he said, but you should go ahead and do it. And I said, go ahead and do it? Okay, I will. And so I got in touch with everybody, and I said, hey, listen, I want to do something a little different. I don't want to just go back out there and perform. I want us to go in the studio first, do what we do best, and write songs and record. And then, you know, set ourselves up with a promoter and get back out there with the old school artists. And I said, I've already talked to a few promoters that would love to have Dynasty on their shows. So, and the guys said, let's do it, Wardell, let's do it. So, Ricky Freeze, Linda Carrier, Nigel Beard, and myself and Richard Randolph, but he passed away. We all went in the studio. We started recording, and we got a few songs done. And then I found the record company that wanted to distribute it and put it out. So ABC ended up saying, we would love to have your record, you know. And so we said, okay, that's it. And so we worked out a deal, and we got the music to them. And next thing you know, we put it out, and it went to number two on the charts. Like, what? Wow, that's amazing. Then we had a number three. So it was just all of a sudden, here we go again, doing what we did before, but we're 900 years old now.
Oh,
you know, but you know, we could go it all day long, get on that stage. And I told them, I said, you know, guys, you know, that's going to take something. We got to really get ourselves in shape before we get back on the stage. So in the meantime, let's just make sure we focus on, you know, taking care of ourselves and do what we can. You know, to promote our music. And so that's why I'm here now, promoting music. I'm doing what I asked everybody to do to make sure that, you know, they get out there and just share with, you know, people what we're doing. And so we're just really blessed, really, really blessed.
And that is great because good music, classic music, always has a place somewhere. So, you know, it never goes away. So good music will follow. So.
Yes, yes. And I just want to say I can't believe I left Texas. I don't know how that happened, being from Philly. You know, we don't Philly guys like that. Because of the Eagles and the Cowboys, this is a bad thing. They don't like each other. But I got really blessed. I found a beautiful church in Hallettsville called First Baptist Church in Hallettsville. And I get to play drums with them, and the people are just love the people in Texas. The people in Texas are really kind, gentle people. There are a few that, you know, like, you don't want to mess around with people when they're driving. They got attitudes out here when they're driving.
You gotta watch out when you're on the road, man. You gotta watch out.
You gotta watch out, but otherwise,
straight ahead. Just look straight ahead. Don't ever turn your face. No.
Right. Just stay in your own lane and stay focused.
Don't blow your horn. Don't do nothing. Just driving.
I don't know what that is, but there's some amazing other ones that the other, you know, 85% of the people here are just beautiful souls, and I've enjoyed this transition moving from California to Texas, and it's all good.
Well, we are glad that you are enjoying Texas.
Yes, sir.
We enjoy the Dynasty music over the years and the Solar Records music over the years. So let's get into the new records you have. You guys have a new record, I Can Tell, Still in Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had, so the single is a 45. It's a 45, you know, guys. Can you believe it, right? So we got a 45, so we have an A side and a B side. We're back to old school vinyl. I mean, I see them selling these record players in Target and some of those stores. I go, wow. And so I went and bought a couple of them. So I got a couple in my house now. ABC, if you guys are interested in purchasing the actual vinyl as opposed to getting a digital download like the youth do, if you're interested in having that vinyl, you can go to abc.com, austinboogiecrew.com. That's what it is. Austin Boogie Crew, the record company, ABC, is out of Austin, Texas. So it's austinboogiecrew.com. And, you know, and you can just look for Dynasty and you can, you know, buy our record and stuff. And we appreciate you supporting us. And so, yes, we win this video, and these are the two songs that they picked for the vinyl, and produced by Ricky Freeze, your boy.
Oh yeah, and we're gonna get into both of those records as we close out. Also, another little tidbit, you mentioned vinyl. I think vinyl actually outsold CDs the past couple of years. Vinyl, like I said, it's been making a comeback, and it's actually better than CDs now. You know,
absolutely. It's the fatness of the vinyl is really, it's solid and it's fat, and I think that, you know, the CDs are, you know, a little thinner. They don't carry as much weight. They don't have that boom like the vinyl. The vinyl is heavy, man. And so I'm so glad that, you know, people decided to go back and enjoy it. I started seeing it coming a few years ago, back when my daughter was getting mail delivered to my house. And I go, well, why is she getting an album delivered here? What'd she get this from? And she's like, oh, yeah, things have changed. Vinyl was back. And I was like, really? I couldn't believe it. And then next thing you know, I'm in the studio recording. So I was like, it's awesome.
Vinyl was back. They have a record store day now, which I think is coming up. I don't know if this came up already, but I think it's coming up sometime soon. They have a record store day and all different kind of, you know, album releases. They re-release albums. They're re-releasing the albums, you know, vinyl, you know. So like I said, it really came back in style. Go to Barnes & Noble, you can buy vinyls at Barnes & Noble now, you know.
Yes. Well, I want to just say to you, I really appreciate you. I think you do excellent at what you do. And I'm impressed because, you know, you're my son's age, my youngest son's age, and you are doing such an amazing job with your knowledge about old school music. And I listened to the music that you played earlier, and I'm just impressed. So keep up the great work, and thanks for keeping old school alive, as we appreciate you.
Oh, we appreciate you for giving us something to keep alive, that great old school music, you know.
Yeah.
And bringing it
my
back.
I heard my son listening to the, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was like, dude, that's Earth, Wind, and Fire. He says, Dad, you just don't know. I go, what do you mean? This music is so good. He said, I don't know. So, I love it that, you know, you guys, it's the generation loves, you know, the stuff that we did back in the day and even before. So Motown, oh, my goodness. Motown, Philly International. Oh, Lord. Those guys were putting it down, man.
Yeah.
They were putting it down. I really appreciate what you're doing here.
Oh, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for blessing us with this interview. Before we get out of here, like I said, I'm going to play the Dynasty's two new records, but I'd like to ask a few questions to the guest artists that I have on the program before we get out of here. So if you don't mind, just run a few little questions by you, kind of like a little speed round.
Okay.
All right. First question, do you remember the first song you learned to play on the drums?
Wow. Man, that's a good question. No one's ever asked you that in an interview. But I think it was Cold Sweat by James Brown. Or I Feel Good. I Feel Good. That's what it was. I Feel Good by James Brown.
I know you mentioned Cold Sweat. I had Steve Arrington, great drummer as well, had him on the show, and he said his first song, I think, was Cold Sweat as well. But as you said, it was I Got the Feeling.
Yeah, I Got the Feeling.
It was something with James Brown, because, of course, there was I Was in the Pocket.
Clyde Sellafield,
Jabbo Starks, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you remember?
I love Steve.
Definitely. Do you remember the first time on stage in front of an audience?
Well, you know, so there's different stages, right? So there's different levels of stages. Like, so I've been on stages. The first stage in a club when I played at. You know, I was still young. I was probably a teenager. I think I was probably around 17 and on the stage. And I think I was excited about the fact, and that was like my first time, right? And I was excited about the fact that the people were excited about what we were doing. So what we were doing was making them happy and excited, and that made me excited that they were excited about what we were doing. I was like, wow, can't believe it. This is happening. This is actually happening. I'm on the other side of this thing now. So I was around 17. But then when you talk about the first concert, that was in Concord, California, and that was the first Solar Galaxy of the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour. And that is actually recorded. It's a video out. And so it was Dynasty, Lakeside, Shalimar, and The Whispers. And that was the very first Solar tour. And that was like, whoa, way too many people. But, you know, it was just, I knew what I was supposed to do, and I drove that train. I did my part, and we had a great time and great memory.
Sounds like a great show.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Yes. It's by Dynasty, and it's called Questions. It's on the second Adventures album.
All right, and one more question. Getting outside of music, what was your first car?
My dad gave me a Volkswagen. So I had a Bug. My dad had three Sunoco gas stations, and so people would bring their cars there to get fixed. And when it would, like, their engine was blown or something, it's like your engine blown, people was like, well, I don't want it. Can you just get rid of it? And so, my dad had his mechanic did was, you know, just put another engine in there, and he gave it to me. And I was, I think I was around 16 years old. And then another one came in right away, the same color. It was a Volkswagen, and it came in, but it was really souped up, and the engine was no good. And so, and the people didn't, you know, want it. So, of that one, but the engine didn't work. So they took the engine out of my first Volkswagen and put it into the second one. And man, I loved that car. It looked like a German helmet. It was beautiful, big Mickey Thompson wheels on the back, and I loved it. And so, yes, that's my first car.
Great.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad.
Definitely. Last question, last but not least. What is your favorite song of all time, any genre? Of anything, favorite songs of any kind of music? What's your just all-time favorite song?
That's a really hard question. Wow. Okay, I don't know if I really have. That's a hard question because I love music so much, and I love something about this. I love this. I love jazz. I love, you know, pop. I love R&B. I don't know if I have a favorite of all time, but if I had to give you one, oh man, you guys are not gonna like this one. But this one, the one that I'm gonna tell you, is because it's what it's saying to a lady that's been hurt. And to any woman that's been hurt. And so it's a song, it's called Wildflower, and it's by New Birth. And if you ever listen to the words in that song, it will really, really bless your heart, because this woman has been through something, but, you know, she and it's like you just got to be cool. You got to back off and just let her go through what she's going through. But the guy says in the song, if I only had one possession, I would pick you from a garden to be mine. Like, I would, if only one possession, I would pick you, because there's something so special about her. But it says, let her cry, for she's a lady. Let her dream, for she's a child. Let the rain fall down upon her eyes. She's a sweet and gentle flower growing wild. Man, those lyrics are crazy. And so if I had to pick one, that's what I'm picking.
That is a great choice. That is a great song. Like I said, he sings that with so much emotion. And yes, that's a good one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There you go. You got me on that one.
Hey, that's a great choice. You know, this is a great choice. I'm going to play it later on my show as well. That is a great choice.
Awesome. Awesome.
Man, Mr.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Wardell Potts Jr., thank you for this interview. Been a pleasure giving us some gems, the history of Dynasty and Solar Records and everything going on in the music business with you guys and so forth. So we appreciate you blessing us with that interview here on KCOH 1230.
Yes, you got it. Thank you so much for having me. Anytime, man. Anytime you want, I could, you know, do whatever I can to be a blessing. I thank you so much, and I wish everyone a wonderful and blessed weekend.
Awesome, man. Thank you for the interview. And we're closing it off with Dynasty, with the new one, I Can Tell, right here on KCOH 1230, The Source. We'll be right back. KCOH 1230 The Source. I want to thank Mr. Wardell Potts Jr. from Dynasty for blessing us with that great interview about the history of Solar Records, Dynasty, and so forth. So they have a new double-sided single, A and B side. We got the first record was I Can Tell, and this is the flip side, Still in Love, right here on KCOH 1230 The Source. And of course, we're going to get into his favorite song, Wildflower, right here on KCOH 1230 The Source.
Solar Records Radio, guys. We want to keep this music going, and thank you. Thank you so much, Kerry, for that wonderful interview. And it's always good to be able to share our stories. Let's keep it going. We'll be right back.
Caught in your hurricane and falling. his way back home. Girl, you're mine. Now that we found love, we've got to carry on.
Thank you.
Yeah, baby. Ooh, that is so funky. Lakeside, putting it down. You got to pull my string. You know, and y'all know that was just a comeback from Anita Ward song was called Ring My Bell. And so Lakeside came out. No, you got to pull my string. And so I was like, all right. And that was all good. Lots of fun. What's up, Mr. Fleming?
I'm good. How you been?
Oh, man, I'm good. Just hanging in there, man. And I enjoyed a young man talking to me about old school music. That really blesses my heart because, you know, mm-hmm. that means that, you know, the youth will keep the old school music alive, you know, and that's that's always a beautiful thing.
It really is because, again, because you have so many outlets now, you know, to find it. It's not like you got to go to a record store and buy an old, a vintage record store at that to find a 45 or whatever. I mean, it's right there in the tip of your fingers. It's right at the fingertips, tip of your fingertips. But no, it's right on the internet. And you can kind of like go down this rabbit hole and just, you know, and just enjoy. I think the cool thing about, especially kids who were, you know, my niece was born in 2005. You know, she'll be 17 in June, and she loves Alexander O'Neill. You know, how did that happen? You know what I'm saying?
So, that's kind of wild.
And here's the thing. She loves Shalimar because her, you know, my sister, you know, her mom, which is my sister, you know, we've talked to her on the show before. She loves that music. So I guess a little bit of me was kind of rubbed off on her, and she's just kind of, you know, pass it down to her kids. So it's a beautiful thing, man.
Absolutely. I love it, man. I love it. Because, you know, the sad thing is that the music is, that the quality of the music really suffered at a certain point. And I think that they're trying to reel it back in. And so, and that's always a good thing, you know, even as far as going back and getting the quality of the instruments that help to make the sound. And what I'm talking about is having, you know, using records as opposed to, you know, vinyl as opposed to digital CDs, you know. As a matter of fact, that's what the young man told me, that the vinyl outsold CDs last year. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people are tired.
And now
the CDs scratch too easy or something.
Yeah, because like phonographs now, you know, it has now, you know, USB, you know, cords and it's USB compatible and you know, so
yeah,
I'm waiting for 8-tracks to have USB now, so we can convert some of those old my uncle's old 8-track tapes and
yeah,
and be able to convert them. And I know. A little bit of old and new, huh?
Well, listen, I want to answer this question. I have a question. The young man was asking me a whole bunch of first-time questions, and I was like, that was very interesting. And so now, for my listeners, I have another first-time question, that first-time question is, you know, how was it for me the first time I was on Soul Train, and what did that feel like, you know? And so, man, and so, you know, it's like you know, my brain is like chasing memories right now. It's just trying to figure out what to say here. And I'm trying to make sure that I'm, you know, being as authentic about it as possible. So let me just think. I remember when we got there, I remember just looking up in the ceiling and just looking around and going, wow, I'm at Soul Train. You know, I've seen on TV all the time, but to actually be there was a whole nother story. And so I remember we went to our dressing room and, you know, and the guys, the roadies, were setting up our equipment on the stage. I thought the stage was smaller than it looked on TV. And so, because I had a lot of drums. But anyway, I remember playing, and Don Cornelius, in an interview, made me uncomfortable because he was talking about my shorts, you know, and he was like, those are short shorts, you know, and, you know, you can't wear that on TV. And I was like, oh, I was so embarrassed, you know, but, you know, the ladies liked it, so that's all that matters to me. And I had a good time because, you know, it was really the beginning of my career, right? And so just think about this, and I remember thinking about this, that my childhood friends, you know, we used to sit down and look at Soul Train together. Now they're looking at Soul Train to see me. And it was that meant the most to me out of everything. It's just my friends on Marston Street that I grew up with, that little intimate relationship that I had with them was everything. And it still is. I mean, I still love them. And so for them to see me on Soul Train was a big deal for them and for me. And so I was very proud that I could make them proud of me. And so that's kind of like my first, you know, that's what my feeling was like. But of course, you're always like, your nerves are a little, you know, because we were recording, but, you know, it wasn't like what we're doing, you and I are doing right now. We're talking, right. You know, and we're doing our shows, right? But it's not video. It's not live. You know, people don't see us. Even though we're live, they don't see us. So being on TV was like a whole other dynamic. It was like, whoa, okay, this is different. And it was great. And so thanks for the question. I appreciate that. I'm just trying to see what else they got here. Like, how many times did you do for the show? Who else was on the same show? Oh, so this is the thing. When we did the show, they just did our part. And then they did somebody else another day, another time. And then they would edit the shows and stuff together. So as far as how many takes did it take us? We were professional. we played on the record, so we knew exactly what to do. And as a matter of fact, they usually don't have like cymbals because, you know, it can go against what's actually happened. If you hit the cymbal and there's no cymbal crash, it looks kind of foolish. But because I played on it, so, oh no, he'll be cool. Leon was like, he'll be cool, let him play. And so I it was easy for me because I just played what I played on the record. So we, and not just me, but everybody just did what we did on the record because we did the record. We all did the record. So anyway, that's the answer. And thank you for that question. So Don, any thoughts?
I want to kind of go back to, you know, the fact that, you know, there are younger people than I, you know, than you and I, that, you know, are grasping, you know, the music of yesteryear. Not to be hyperbolic, I guess, say yesteryear. But no, you know, a lot of that 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s music when it comes to soul music and R&B, you know. And every time I look at these videos, especially on YouTube, where you get these reaction videos of kids who were born in 1995 or something and saying, listening to groups like Midnight Star, who you have in the background, or 70s soul like Bloodstone or Enchantment, you know, they always, you know, have this bewildered look on their face and like, you know, why is music out there like that right now in mass? You know, it's like one of those things is like, yo, it's still out there, but you got to find it. But even back then, there was just a wide variety of good music, man. And it was kind of the accessibility, even though we had the radio or the limited technology, there was still a level of availability, you know, for us to reach out and grasp it. And, you know, now it's like, you got to look for it. You've got to find it. It's there. It's there. And I do believe it's there. But, you know, it's just amazing, you know, how, you know, someone like I mentioned, my niece will listen to Prince. She'll listen to a Purple Rain album. I mean, she'll play it from top to bottom, you know, being 17 years old. Or again, she'll be 17 in June. Just amazing old soul. And we always call, you know, the younger kids who grasp a sense of that history, we say they're old soul, but she really does have an old soul, I guess, in the context of this conversation. I mean, she loves music out today. You know, she goes and parties to a lot of the rap crazes and the TikToks and all of that. But when she's at home kind of chilling and has a certain mode to her, she's listening to Chalabar. She's listening to The Prince. She's listening to Al Jarreau, for God's sake. You know, wow. I don't mean that to disrespect Al Jarreau or anything, but no, I'm just, but, you know.
But she's so young, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, we grew up watching Breakin', and one of her favorite songs was Boogie Down from the movie Breakin', and she just loves that song, and of course Morning and a lot of his Moonlighting theme. I mean, just a lot of and of course rest in peace to Al Jarreau. But a lot of the kids, man, you know, when you see those YouTube videos and see these reactions, they always have that look on their face like, oh my God, it was so beautiful. It wasn't, it was so much subtlety about love and, you know, it made you think about it. Now it's just straight up, I want to do this to you and do that to you. And, you know, I know I sound like that get off my lawn guy, but, you know, I turned into my granddaddy once I got older. But I mean, there are things that you can leave to the imagination. And that was the beauty of it, to exercise and open the horizons of your mind to figure it out for yourself and decipher the message. And that was the beauty, the journey of deciphering that music. So,
yeah.
But anyway,
yeah. That's good.
We can talk
about this
all day.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to go to another question. Will we ever hear tracks from Solar that has never been released before? Oh, man. That's a good question. And yes, I know you will. You know, we just got to continue to live. But I know you will, because there is stuff that we recorded that never came out. And, I mean, we were finished. We mixed it in everything. So it was ready to be released. And I know it was right around the same time we did the Whispers album. What was that song? And Shalimar, too. I mean, I could look right here at Shalimar stuff since I'm here. But it was right around the time. It was right when we were leaving Warner Brothers and going to, was it Warner Brothers? We were leaving RCA going to Warner Brothers. And so, so it was right then and there when we did that music that's never come out. And we did music like that on Shalimar, The Whispers, and Dynasty. And so I have no idea whatever happened to that music. I just know it was in the vault, and things, all kind of things happened since, you know, we left you know, Solar, you know, yeah, you know, because it's been through a lot, because Death Row moved into the building and started, mm-hmm. you know, even recording over some of our masters. Like, what are you doing? You can't record over somebody else's stuff, you know, so, but, yeah, they were kind of, you know, doing what they did. And, but anyway, question, yes, there should be, you should be able to hear some stuff that was recorded that's never been released by Solar. And so, and I'm trying to find the Dynasties. There was an album, and on that album that I'm looking for, there was a song on that album called Mustang Moving On. And so that album, I found the song Mustang Moving On, but I can't find the rest of the album. And I want to know where that album is. So if anyone out there knows, if Mustang Moving On is on that album, please let me know. You know, you got that album, because I really am looking for it. Because there were other songs on that album that were really good songs, and I would love to hear it and play it here on Solar for our listeners. So anyway, thank you guys again for another great day. It is the beginning of the Solar weekend here at Solar Records Radio. It's Friday. We've got about another 18 minutes left, hanging out with Don Fleming and myself. And I want to thank Kerry again for a nice interview. We really appreciate you, brother. God bless you. I'm going to be doing Solar Wants to Dance tomorrow. So tune in for that. You know, it's just, we're just working out cardio, just trying to take care of ourselves so we can be the best versions of ourselves, you know, and try to stay in shape. That's why when you asked me that question, when I got asked that question about will there be music that come out by Solar that we haven't heard before, I said, yeah, we just got to live. We just got to live, man. So, but anyway, guys, we're going to play a couple more songs and we'll come back and say hi to you, but thank you so much, and appreciate all the questions and all the love. And here we go with Collage. You guys remember Collage? This is called
love
When You
Collage.
Smile. Larry White in the house. Larry White. All right, here we go, guys. When You Smile.
Away. Now I have heaven.
This is a special song from a special friend, for a special friend who passed away. Jermaine Stewart, we will always love you, and we will keep your legacy alive at Solar Records Radio, brother. God bless you, and thank you for the music that you gave to us. You guys, and we thank you so much for hanging out with there you go,
Jermaine Stewart, man.
Jermaine Stewart.
And he had a beautiful, and I'm not making fun of him, even at that time when I first saw this video, his perm was just mean. He had a mean perm. You know, I loved it. And it just flowed in the wind in this video.
Okay, well, you know, Jermaine was he was fun. He was a nice guy. We had a good time on the road together. Him, Jody, and myself would hang out and you know, giggle a lot, just have fun and talk and laugh and be excited about being in the moment where we were. And and you know, him and Jody were best friends. And
He had a song named Jody.
Oh, okay, great. So, that was his best friend. And so, you know, thank you, Jermaine. We had a lot of fun, man. And we appreciate you. All right, guys. Well, we want to thank y'all as well for tuning in today and hanging out with us here at Solar Records Radio. Thanks to Carrie again, Carrie Lewis, for the interview. We appreciate Houston Radio over there. Much love to you guys. Keep up the great work. And anyway, so we're up and out of here to you tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. We're going to work out together if y'all want. I'll be there. And so it's just all up tempo, jam for hours straight. That's it. That's all we do. All right. God bless you guys and take care. Don, you have a blessed evening. And is it going to rain up there, Don? Is it raining up there?
No, sun is out, but, you know, you never know how this weekend will look.
Oh, yeah. It's 30 degrees in Philadelphia. 30. Are you kidding me?
Stop.
It's winter time. It's freezing. I can't believe it. My poor mama. It's cold up there. But anyway, thanks, Greg and Astrid, for everything. You guys be blessed, and I hope you had a good workout today, Greg. I know you went walking. So, Anyway, don't forget, guys, what I said about that. If you can find that album for me, it's a Dynasty album, and it's the last album we did on RCA Records. So if you find it, please let us know. Let me know, okay? Much love to you. God bless. And you guys take care. And we're up and out of here. And I was asked a question. What was the first song I wrote? Here it is, right here on Dynasty's record. God bless you guys. Take care. Catch you later. Good night. See you, Don.